the book of Matthew, chapter 28, is the text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Would that you would go with me. Matthew chapter 28.
Thank you.
Matthew 28. Find me somewhere around verse 19. Meet me there. We are connecting to the community. This is our second installment in the Getting Ready to Go Out series. Verse 19 reads like this: Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I want to talk to us this morning briefly as I can from the subject. Get to getting. I was in preparation mode and Sister Earlene Cole showed up in my spirit. that was a phrase that she would use sometimes when she'd say, get to getting. That means you need to get in motion. You need to get in movement. You need to move on. You got to, some things have got to happen. And so I was like, wow, Lord. I mean, I had already put it down and I had gone through it. And as I was reflecting and going over it, it just showed up. Get to getting. Get to getting. There's a plan that God has for us, and he shares it. Jesus shares it with his disciples here. He shares his vision and his plan for us. As I told you, we've got to get ready to go out. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get ready to go out and to do work, to do missions, to do some good things for the kingdom of God. So he says, go ye therefore. Jesus, listen, Jesus has made it back from the grave, y'all. And now he's meeting up with the disciples again on his way back to glory. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says, therefore. I want you to go therefore. Uh-huh. It links our authority, our authority, y'all, to invade the nations of mankind with the saving gospel of Christ, to his authority as Lord of heaven and earth. Look at that, y'all. We got authority that has been linked to the authority of the one who rules heaven and earth. Our authority couldn't come from any higher source, y'all. The unbelieving may challenge our right to take the gospel to other lands. Somebody like, why you think you can go over there? How you think you got something to say? We got authority that comes from God. They might challenge us, but we have every right, y'all, every right to go because Jesus said go. We have a mandate that transcends that of any human political, religious, or economic power. We are commissioned to go, and go we must. Did you hear me what I said? Get to getting, get to getting. For Satan holds the nations in darkness. Millions have been blinded by communism and humanism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, and Islam, and false cults of apostolic Christianity or apostate Christianity. He says you got to go. You got to go and reach the nations. Is that what he says there in verse 19?
Yeah.
He says it's really hard. The apostles, they had been having a hard time coming to grips with this idea that they must go. This is a compelling word that he's given to us. But by the time that Matthew was writing down these words after Christ's appearance on the mountain in Galilee, the marching orders of Christ had been taken seriously, especially by Paul. He's the latecomer to the apostolic band. He's just now showing up, but he's just taking this thing on by the tail. He is out there trying to do the work, and if ain't nobody else gonna go, he gonna go by himself. That's the kind of thing Paul had going on for him. And the borders of the church were already expanding far and wide under his driving ambition, his towering example, and his quenchless zeal. Wasn't nothing gonna stop him. It had to be done. The work of reaching the nations, y'all, is still far from being over. There's still work to be done because there are thousands of tribes, thousands of folk that do not have even two pages of the Bible to read themselves in their own native tongue. And untold millions are still untold. They're not getting it. And in spite of our ability to use mass communication and high technology in reaching the nations, we are not keeping pace with the birth rate. We can't keep up. We can't keep up. So he says, I need you to reach the nations. The work of reaching the nations is even farther than completion. Yeah. Even teaching the nations is more farther than trying to reach them. There is a call for evangelism. There's a call for enlistment. That is, somebody needs to enroll. Somebody needs to be recruited. We got to get people to go. There's a call for enlightenment, some explanation, some illumination, some clarification. And there's a call for discipleship. Right. Yeah, there's some folk need to come and learn to follow. That we ought to teach our converts to observe, the text says, all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Right.
Yeah, and look, y'all, that takes time. It takes patience. I heard somebody talking about patience. It takes knowledge and it takes commitment. All backed up by the eloquent examples of a Christ-filled life. Yeah, how long did it take you to get?
My Lord.
You know, my brother, I have a brother, he always tells me that it takes some folk longer than it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't come up under the kind of teaching and training that you got from your daddy.
That's right.
And so sometimes I have to come to grips with the fact that it takes some people a little while longer than it took me. Takes some people a little while longer than it took you. We've got to have some patience, y'all, but we've got to reach out to go and teach the nations. He says, having taught the nations the gospel, then we are to baptize in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, baptism, y'all know, it's the outward expression of an inward experience. But it was that bold and often dangerous confession of Christ before a Christ-rejecting world. That's what it is. And in many countries, baptism is the final break with the past and invites persecution, discrimination, and death. Yeah, just because you claim Christ, there are some people that are dying because they claim Christ for themselves. And Jesus still says go.
Go.
He says you got to go. You got to get to getting. And we are not called to go alone to these places that he's sending us. He's not called for us to go alone to the jungles, to college. He's not even to neighborhoods that even some of them that we live in ourselves. This task would be impossible if go were the only word that the Lord said. But he added lo. Do y'all see it in the text? He promised y'all, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the Bible gives us many proofs of the trustworthiness of the pledge of God. that he will be with us to the end of the world. It produces a whole roll call of people. We can go down the list and see people that will tell you that God will be with you. I know you won't take my word for it, but I know that God is with me. I know that God stays with me, and he'll be with you too. But because you don't want to believe me, I'm going to take you to the word of God. There are several examples I'm going to share with you today, and then we're going to go get some good food on the other side. He says in this Bible that there are some testimonies. Y'all won't tell it.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some testimonies out here that will help us. And the testimony that I want to use is the testimony of Paul, the greatest of all apostles and ambassadors. Or Shakespeare would call it the noblest Roman of them all. Yeah, we're going to learn some things from the testimony of Paul. We've got four different scenes I want to deal with here. And the first one is we see the apostle in Corinth. Go with me in your sanctified imagination in the midst of his missionary career. Already he bears in his body the slave brands of Jesus Christ, the telltale scars of many a beating and adversity. In Europe, he has been thrashed and tortured in the prison stocks at Philippi, assaulted at Berea and Thessalonica, and ridiculed in Athens. In Corinth itself, he has faced the blasphemy and riotous unbelief of the large Jewish community. The Jewish folk were going against him. The doors of the church, y'all, had been firmly shut against him.
Yeah.
Y'all ever felt like the doors have been shut, let alone the doors of the church have been shut against you? Yeah, but the bright spots in the story of bitter and persistent persecution in the church are Crispus, the believing chief ruler of the synagogue, and Justus, with whom Paul has taken up temporary residence. He's staying overnight for a while. And in spite of the spiritual blessing that has attended his ministry, Paul was feeling some kind of way. Y'all ever felt some kind of way? You working and doing ministry, and even in the work of your ministry, you know you feeling the blessings of God, that God's hand is still on you and that God is doing some great things for you. But now and again, I know I ain't by myself.
Right.
You get the feeling some kind of way. Yeah, he has barely recovered from his many stripes, y'all, received at Philippi. And so we can imagine his doubts and depression. After all, the beating that he had and tortured his flesh, he not made of steel. He's not made of iron. He gonna hurt just like you hurt.
Right.
But just when we wonder whether Paul can stand anymore, the Lord makes good on his promise. In Acts chapter 18, he says, "Then said the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee." Listen at him. "And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Paul said, "I ain't worried about nothing, but God has showed up to me in a night vision."
Uh-huh.
And he told me that he's with me. He said, "Don't you worry about a thing." He said, "I got some folk down there that's going to take care of you." Every now and again, you got to look for somebody that God has sent to take care of you.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To his name. That's my first scene. The second scene is that Paul, he's back in Jerusalem. Come on, go with me. We in Jerusalem now. The brethren there barely say thank you for the financial gift he has brought them from his Gentile converts in many lands. That's some sad commentary. That he has brought some stuff to your church. And you won't even tell the Lord thank you. Help us, Jesus. The elders are more concerned with asking him to prove his Jewishness by undertaking a considerable financial burden and joining in on some some rites of the temple. Take a cut, Paul, and then help us with these, the rites in the temple. And so a riot ensues in the temple courts when Paul's enemies recognize him. And he is rescued only in the nick of time from the mob that would have killed him in that very instant. The soldiers who rescue him, they give him place, give him space, allow him to give his testimony to the mob. But another riot breaks out. Determined to get to the bottom of the problem, the Roman captain gives orders for Paul to be examined by scourging. Take him out. But fortunately, Paul's Roman citizenship saves him from this horror and earns him the opportunity of bearing witness before the Sanhedrin. Again, there is an uproar. And it is evident that the Jewish authorities are intent on killing Paul. The soldiers deliver him from the Jews and take him to the prison in the castle. There in Acts 23, the night following, the Lord stands by me and says, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." Again, the Lord has kept his promise. Look at it. He says, "Now, because you testified of me over there, you're not gonna get taken out right now, because you gotta testify of me over there.
Yeah, right.
Now, can I help somebody in here? You got to understand that you have been through some stuff.
Right.
There may be some more stuff that you got to go through, because the Lord needs to tell you, to get you to tell somebody else, somewhere else, what he did for you.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God. He keeps his promises. I'm moving on. In the third scene, we see Paul. Y'all, come on. He's on a ship on his way to Rome. He is still a prisoner. Can I push pause for a moment? Listen. He has been boasting about how the Lord has always been with him. Always been by his side. That the Lord always keeps his promises, and Paul is in prison again. He has appealed to Caesar. And a terrible storm is threatening Paul's life and the lives of all those that are aboard the ship. And the vessel is at the mercy of wind and wave. And all bearings are lost and all hope is gone, but the passengers, for the passengers and the crew, look like ain't no hope for nobody. But Paul has a word of encouragement.
All right.
Listen, he tells them, "There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that saileth with thee." Now I got to push pause again. He first said that the Lord told me not to be afraid, because he's got a mission for me. I've got to get to Caesar. I've got to address Caesar. But he says, not just for me.
Right.
All those that are on the ship with me, they're going to be saved as well. I know y'all missed it. You ain't get it. You ain't get it. Listen, he says, God doesn't just give blessings for me, but everybody that's on the ship with me, blessings flow to you too. What a mighty God. He says, I'm not sending these things just to bless you, just to encourage you, just to lift you, but everybody that's with you. Look at it. He said, all of them. He kept his promise. He's done it again. One more thing and I'm through. Nero's wickedness has erupted into a wholesale persecution of Christians. They taking them all out. And having been acquitted, watch, and rearrested. Paul has been brought back to Rome for the last time. The great apostle is incarcerated in a terrible dungeon. Now this dungeon, no one has ever escaped. And some of the prisoners had been eaten alive by rats. And Paul is troubled by the news that dissension has come up in the ranks among the churches, many of the ones that he has founded. He's cold, and his physical infirmities brought on by his frequent beatings and difficult circumstances are troubling him. Yeah, but Paul longs, he looks for something to read, for he is virtually alone. And some of his faithful aides, the people who've been working with him, are doing his errands far and wide. They are doing them all the way from Rome. Others, like Demas, have forsaken him. Paul has been abandoned by his remaining friends to face the hostile court alone. His first hearing at court was a difficult one because Alexander the coppersmith had prejudiced the authorities against him. Now, you know that's some crazy stuff. Before you can get to court, some liar has gone ahead of you and spoken some ill stuff against you. So I'm already got my back up against the wall before I even get in there. Now, death is a certainty, but the Lord has once more made good on his promise. Paul is able to write. Look at what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." Sometimes you got to stand by yourself. But he says, "But all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Yeah, he has stood with me and strengthened me. I'd be wrong if I didn't tell you what the rest of that text says. It says shortly after that Paul, he got out of the dungeon, they took him out, beheaded him, and then he got promoted to glory. But he's keeping talking about how the Lord has been with him. Yeah. Jesus, y'all, promised, "Lo, I am with you even until the end of the world." Yeah, God was communing with his Son and his Spirit in heaven, looking for someone who would go and redeem mankind back to himself. Having found no one, Jesus says, "Give me a body and I will go." Yeah, if now and then somebody should say, "I will go." So he goes down through 40 and two generations, knowing that his going was not going to be pretty. Now, some of us got to know the end before you start, or you're not starting.
Right.
He already knows that it ain't gonna be pretty.
I know.
It's gonna be a mess. Yet he goes.
Right.
He goes. He goes until lies, I tell you, lies are told on him, and he keeps going. He goes until his so-called friends desert and leave him alone. Yet he keeps going. He goes until he is arrested in the garden. He's praying and he keeps going from judgment hall to judgment hall. He keeps going through the beatings. He keeps going through the nails. He keeps going through the thorns. He keeps going through the spear. He keeps going through a mocking mob. And he keeps going for the mob. When he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Going for his mother and his friend John. He said, "Behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." Going for himself. But seemingly, he gets no answer. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He keeps going all the way to death. Don't you hear him say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Listen to that. He's dead. They dead. and buried. But on the third day morning, the Father raises him up with all power. Come on, y'all. All power. Only for him to keep on going all the more. He gets up with all power, not to sit down, not to stop, but to keep going. Yeah, he wants to give that same power to everyone that would believe. You would think that would be enough, right? You would think that would be enough, but he is still going for you. He's still going for me. Seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession daily on our behalf. Stepping in to eclipse ourselves so that the Father can't see us in our sin. You know why? Because he said, look here, Father, I already died for that sin. I already died for that mess. I already died for their nasty attitude. I already died for their wayward self. I already died. Look at Jesus. He eclipses us from the Father. He died. I died for that. What a mighty God we serve. And I would say, as Earlene would say, we need to get to getting. We need to get to getting for him because he went for us. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You got to get ready to go get to getting. God bless you as we stand all over the building. The doors.